This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
You're an American. I'm not trying to go all hokey or cliche on you, but you're an American. And we're going to discuss just briefly tonight what exactly that means. Now, we have more ballots found. On the 17th? We have more ballots found on the 17th? We're going to talk about that and more coming up next on I'm Right. You are an American. Now, I want you to understand something. All this new COVID stuff is popping up, and we're going to go into all the details about that in a minute. But before we get into what they're doing, what they want, the things Joe Biden has said, I feel like occasionally, even though we've heard this stuff before, it doesn't hurt to go back and remember what we are. In fact, actually, it's probably the most important thing we could do right now. So much of what you see when it comes to the left tearing down American history, tearing down American monuments, is because communists, whenever they've taken over anywhere, one of their focuses all the time is destroy the history of that nation. Why? Well, who you were is who you are. They don't want you to have some founding. They don't want you to have something you identify with. They don't want you to have a DNA. They have to break you down into some nothingness blob who just is waiting to be told what to do. Please, commie gods, tell me what to do. That's what they want. That's why they go after history so hard. That's why the leftists decades ago infiltrated our American education system and started teaching your kids, my kids, everybody's kids that America sucks. Because they knew if we could just grow a couple generations of people who hate this country, well, we can work with that, right? Then we can mold those minds. They'll come around to our side. But what is America? You understand how old history is. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years of recorded civilizations. We have these records. And that the concept of self-government, that government only has a couple things it's allowed to do, and it's not allowed to tell you to do anything else, you're free. You understand how rare that is? You are a tiny, tiny speck in all of history of all the civilizations that have ever existed. You live in a country that was founded on the fact that government is limited in you, the individual. Not you as a group, you, the individual, are free. You govern yourself. You make your own choices. You succeed, you succeed, you fail. You do all that on your own. That's unique. It's all you've ever known. It's all I've ever known. But we should have enough historical perspective to realize that is unique. In this country, government is not allowed to tell you what to do. We were founded on that concept. It's enshrined in our laws. Government is not allowed to tell you what to do. And they were so worried about government trying to tell you what to do, they actually added a Bill of Rights essentially saying these are the only 10 things government can do, and these are the rights you will always have. So what happened? What happened? Is it just the education system? Did we sit down in too many government schools and learn to be just little lemmings jumping off the cliff because everyone else is? I don't want to belabor the point, but what were we, 2 weeks into COVID? And we had a pastor in Florida in handcuffs for having church? Now, maybe your Bill of Rights reads different than mine, but man, my First Amendment sure seems to guarantee that that kind of thing can never happen in the United States of America. And I'm going to go a step further. And I know this is going to make some people uncomfortable. In this country, the reason we have certain rights guaranteed in our Constitution and the reason we fought a revolution is we believed that government should be afraid of you. You realize that? You realize we have example after example after example in the early history of the United States of America of politicians flat out saying, I can't pass this law. My people will lose their minds. I'm too scared. I can't pass this law. I don't even know what my people will do. They'll be on the front line with pitchforks for all I know. You know that your government should be scared of you? Here in America, because we have a different system. Doesn't work that way everywhere. In America, your government doesn't rule you. You know that? They can make laws. Then people will enforce laws and such. Your government is not in charge of you. You are in charge. And I realize that's basic, but I feel like it's lost on so many people. And I'll be honest. I'm going to shoot you straight here. Coronavirus and that response, our early response, not where we are now, our early response, it's one of the few things that has happened in my adult life that shocked me. Not coronavirus, not what the government wanted to do. These scumbag idiot politicians always seize power every chance they get. And of course, the disgusting American media is going to push fear every chance they get. None of that stuff shocked me. What shocked me was the American people being told, go home. What about my small business? Shut it down. You're not allowed to open it. And the American people going, oh, okay. I'll go watch some Netflix. Just let me know, Mr. Mayor, whenever I'm allowed to open up my business again. Master Governor, could I open up my business? Oh, not that. No, not yet. Okay, sorry. I'll go home again. They should have been scared to death to tell you to close your business. They should have had phone calls from the local sheriff, local police department saying, none of these people are complying. All these businesses just opened. What do you want us to do? All these businesses are open. We can't arrest everybody. That's what should have been happening. We should have had governors and mayors to this day sitting there sweating by the phone. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I gave this order and nobody's following it. That's what should have happened here in the United States of America. And instead, people went home. People did what they were told time and time again. They did what they were told. And now what we've done is, because we've taken that path as Americans, which is disgraceful, we've let these people think they can now do whatever they want. And maybe they can. It's not just Democrats either. We have this idiot governor of Ohio, DeWine, just issued a 21-day curfew. We believe, he sends out some message, we believe that after 10 p.m. that the COVID spread will be more. Don't ask me about that. But 10 p.m., you have to go home. I'm sorry, what? You're the governor. This is America. Screw you. As the governor of any state in the United States of America, I do not acknowledge your authority to tell me when to go home. You don't get to tell me what I have to wear. You don't get to tell me when to go home. You don't get to tell me I can't go to work. You don't get to tell me I can't open my small business. I am an American. And you, even thinking about trying to tell me to do that, your little hands should be shaking as you walk up to the microphone. That's what should happen. But these people, They're continuing these lockdowns and continuing these steps. One, because they get off on the power. They do too. They get off on being able to tell you what to do. Trust me, they do. They would never admit it. But they get up to this microphone. Sorry, it does me no pleasure to say it, but you have to wear this. Sorry. Close your business. Close it up now. All right, and go home, or I'm going to tell your mother. Oh, they love it. These are almost all lifelong dorks who finally have power in their little girl hands, and they love it. They absolutely love telling you what to do. But now we've told them they can. And now they feel like they get to do more and more and more. That's why I never bought into this COVID will be over on election day thing. When have you ever known anybody, American or otherwise, to willingly give back power once they get it? And listen, listen to how these people talk. Do you remember what Joe Biden said about the dark winter? Do you remember when he said this?
We all agreed that we want to get the economy back on track. We need our workers to be back on the job by getting the virus under control. We're going in a very dark winter. Things are going to get much tougher before they get easier. And that requires sparing no effort to fight COVID so that we can open our businesses safely, resume our lives, and put this pandemic behind us. It's going to be difficult, but it can be done.
Yeah. You see, I mean, look, the only way we're going to get COVID behind us is if you destroy your livelihood and go into bankruptcy and give Joe Biden the power to tell you what to do. Oh, you want other solutions? Oh, well, that's the only solution I have, is you giving me more power. I'm Joe Biden. I need more power over your life, and then I'll take care of you. Just let me rule you like a king, and I promise I'll take care of you. If that doesn't creep you out, you have got to unplug yourself from the system badly, badly. And I'll tell you something else. If you think these politicians care about you, any of them, boy, you are going to have a long life. It's time for you to wake up and realize these people care about money and power. That's all they care about. They don't care about coronavirus either. How many of these people, Joe Biden included, several times have been caught without the masks on? Have been caught violating the same rules they told you not to violate? They're not scared of coronavirus. They're not even that worried about coronavirus. Coronavirus is a wonderful, wonderful highway for them to drive their power train down, and you and I let them. And guess what? I've got bad news for you, too. We're going to keep letting them until somebody steps up and says, I'm not letting them anymore. And the longer we take to tell these people no, the harder we're going to have to tell them no when we tell them no. Why don't we start now? Why don't you go into your small business tomorrow and open it up on the hours you want to be open? Why don't you wear the things you want to wear, not what the government tells you to wear? And why don't you tell anybody who doesn't like it to screw off? Oh, but they'll do things like challenge your selfishness. They'll challenge your patriotism.
Every major individual of any consequence in the health field is saying, we can save 100,000 lives just between now and January 21st by wearing these masks. It's going to take a while for the vaccine to be able to be available, distributed, and get to people. We're talking about 350 to 400,000 people dying. Does anybody understand why a governor would turn this into a political statement? It's about patriotism. It's about being patriotic. It's about saving lives, for real. This is not hyperbole. It's about being patriotic.
Wear the mask that I have my dirty fingers all over. I even switched hands. Wear the mask. Don't you understand? It's your patriotic duty as an American to do what I tell you to do. No, not here. Maybe other places. I'm not even judging other forms of government. If that's your form of government, fine. You want to do the monarchy life, whatever you want to do is fine. In our government, that's not patriotic. At all times, the patriotic thing to do as an American is the thing you want to do, That's what's patriotic, because that's you exercising the freedom that people died for. Your patriotic duty, 99% of the time when someone in the government tells you what to do, is to tell them where to roll it up and shove it. That's your patriotic duty. And I'm tired of hearing this crap too, that every scientist, everybody of any consequence, everybody this, everybody that, that is a bunch of crap. There have been scientists and experts and doctors screaming till they're blue in the face from the beginning of this thing that all these lockdown measures are idiotic, they're not working, this is stupid, and big tech, Twitter, Facebook, the regular media has frozen these guys out of society. Why? Because they're not saying the things that the system wants them to say. You see, only the system gets to approve the message. Anybody who says any message not system approved, wow, he's not anybody of any consequence. Oh, and Thanksgiving's coming, didn't you hear? Well, maybe not this year, you see.
Let me tell you what the health experts have said to me. And it's not because I'm unique and president-elect, it's because of my family. They strongly urge that if, in fact, we're going to have Thanksgiving with anyone, that we limit it to a maximum. They suggest 5 people, maximum 10 people, socially distanced, wearing masks, and people who have quarantined. I would strongly urge, for the sake, not just your sake, for the sake of your children, your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, whoever you get together for Thanksgiving, think about this. There should be no group more than 10 people in one room. Inside the homes. That's what they're telling me. They're telling me, they're making sure that that's the case.
Whoever told you that's an idiot. I don't know what to say. And Jesse, there are doctors. I've met a million doctors that are morons. I don't want to hear about that. You and I were created to interact with other people on this planet. That's part of how God made us. Any doctor who thinks you can destroy somebody's mental health, you can basically go against your biology, how you were made, and that's healthy, is an idiot. Why do you think we have alcoholism, drug abuse, we have suicides all through the roof, depression through the roof, we have kids dying from suicide right now, drowning in depression, but oh, we've got to attack the coronavirus. We have old people, these poor old people, nobody even talks about them. You've got what, a few Thanksgivings left, a few Christmases left? We got to wrap them up in plastic and say goodbye to somebody over FaceTime? No, nope, not for me. No, I'm done with all that. You need to be done with all that. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, natural medicines and holistic healing approaches are known to help alleviate issues like anxiety and headaches and joint pain. People choose all kinds of different routes to go after those things. I choose CBD. I like natural solutions. I like holistic healing. But where do you go? I mean, who knows where to go? There's CBD everywhere now, right? You can find it at the gas station by the switchblades. There's CBD everywhere. Well, doctors trusted CBD company. What they did was they found the best. They went around and found the best products, and that's what they sell. They even sell Be Best Organics. Did you know that Be Best Organics is made in the United States of America? Go to doctorstrustedcbd.com. That's doctorstrustedcbd.com. Use the promo code Jesse for free shipping and 10% off. We'll be back. Quickly, let's do a little update on the whole ballot thing. They just found 2,600 ballots in Georgia. This is so profoundly embarrassing. Look, on behalf of my country, as somebody who desperately loves this country, I am so embarrassed. The rest of the world is watching this embarrassment. We are the most modern, wealthy country in the history of the world. It's November 17th, and we're still finding thousands of ballots. What do we do with these ballots? Do people just take in the ballots and just chuck a few in this pile in the corner and chuck a few in this pile in the corner? Well, I mean, who knows? Did you still put the ones out back under the dump? This is embarrassing. This is what you would expect out of some third world dump. I'm so embarrassed. New from Gabriel Sterling, just released the official vote breakdown for the ballots previously uncounted in Floyd County. This is Floyd County, Georgia. Trump 1643, Biden 865, Jurgensen 16, total 2524. I don't even care about the breakdown. Honestly, I don't care about the breakdown. I don't care that Trump got the most. I don't care. On behalf of my country, I'm embarrassed. This is pathetic. Gosh. Here's Gabriel Sterling talking about it.
This is why you do the audits. There's no issues with any of the equipment or anything. They just didn't scan these ballots, it looks like, or the card was not put through properly. So the secretary, since this is such an amazing blunder and they had issues in August, would like to see that elections director for Floyd County step down from his position because this was too important of an issue to have allowed to happen this way. It does change the margin by about 800 or so, it appears. We already have an investigator looking into what happened in the situation as to why it happened. But obviously the secretary in our whole office is perturbed, to say the least, that this was allowed to happen in that county. It is the only county we've seen an issue like this so far. And it looks like it was an early vote, half of an early vote box, essentially, that did not get uploaded into their election night reporting system.
What? What? It was early ballots. What, half early ballots? Just a box that didn't get counted. This is embarrassing, and this has to stop. And I'll tell you something else. I do the best I can never to come on here and push, you know, conspiracy theories, even though I'll never bow to what the left calls conspiracy theories. Anything that points out leftist malfeasance is always dismissed as the conspiracy theories. But I try not to come on here and say things. You've never heard me say things like 10 million votes were changed for Biden. I've never said anything like that. But call me crazy. How do all the mistakes only go one way? You find some ballots in the trash. Oh, wow, those were Trump ballots. We had to do an audit to find these 2,600 ballots where Donald Trump gains 800. Oh, wow. Whoops. Good thing we did the audit. Woo. That was close. Oh, look, there's another mistake. We got some new ballots in around 3 in the morning. Everyone's asleep. Wow, look at that. Every one of them's for Joe Biden. Whew, man. Something stinks. Something stinks. And then you have Joe Biden out here whining because we haven't transitioned properly to him. He's not president-elect yet.
What do you see as the biggest threat to your transition right now, given President Trump's unprecedented attempt to obstruct and delay a smooth transfer of power?
More people may die if we don't coordinate. So how do we get the vaccine? How do we get over 300 million Americans vaccinated? What's the game plan? It's a huge, huge, huge undertaking to get it done, prioritize those greatest in need, and working our way through it, and also cooperate with the World Health Organization and the rest of the world in dealing with this. And so they say they have this warp speed program that they not only dealt with getting vaccines, but also how to distribute this. If we have to wait until January 20th to start that planning, it puts us behind over a month, month and a half. And so it's important that it be done, that there be coordination now or as rapidly as we can get that done.
People will die. Look, I'm president. Everyone says I'm president. The media says I'm president. Just hurry up and transition, make me president, or people will die. Gosh. All right. You're not going to die if somebody steals your home title, but you are going to be financially ruined. That's just a fact. Your home almost undoubtedly is your biggest financial vulnerability. And right now, cyber thieves are prowling the internet as we speak, looking for your home title. If they find it, they're going to hack into it. They're going to forge your signature on it, take a loan out against that home. You have to pay it back. You won't even know they did it until you open up the mail one day and find out a late notice. What? On what? The only way to stop it is home title lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com.
That's HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code RADIO. That actually gets you 30 free days of protection. I personally have seen what these cyber criminals can do. Get Home Title Lock. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code RADIO. We'll be back. Joining me now, my friend John Phillips of the John Phillips Show and the great KABC in Los Angeles. John, I need you to walk me through when exactly we lost that thing we had as Americans. I say had, where a governor, a mayor, a president would tell you to wear this, wear that, go home, close your business. And we would have thought, nah, you don't know. I don't think I will. In fact, I think I'll open my business for longer hours just because you told me to close it. That's what being an American is. And clearly it's gone.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. We certainly had that on the 4th of July when Warden Newsom told us that we were supposed to stay at home. We're not supposed to celebrate. There are no fireworks. There's no hot dogs. There's no picnics. There's no pool parties. Stay inside. Don't go outside. Don't shoot off fireworks. Well, you looked up at the night sky in Los Angeles on the 4th of July. It looked like Fallujah. There were just explosions everywhere. And it wasn't just on the 4th of July. It was all weekend long. And I think you're going to see that same thing on Thanksgiving. You know, he told us that we're not supposed to invite our family over, our friends. We're supposed to stay inside. And he doesn't believe his own BS. He was just at a birthday party at the French Laundry, which costs about $350 a person, with some of his friends. Table full of people, a lobbyist, by the way. So he was enjoying himself. He doesn't believe what he's saying. And I think the people of California won't believe it either.
Do you think the hypocrisy actually gets through to the American public? I mean, look, not just Newsom, all of them. Who hasn't? Which one of these sanctimonious politicians at this point hasn't been caught doing exactly what they tell everyone else not to do? Lori Lightfoot, Kamala Harris, of course, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi. The list is long of these mask-shaming politicians who've been caught without them, getting their hair cut. Do you think people genuinely care about hypocrisy, or do they just say they do?
Oh, yeah. No, this Newsom thing at the French Laundry is cutting through the noise. And the Nancy Pelosi thing in California was a huge deal. And that was just because she got caught. Are you trying to tell me that she's not going to get her makeup done down at Earl's Jive, too? I mean, we know this woman's out and about without a mask. We know they all are. We know they don't believe what they're telling us, which is why people aren't going to pay attention to them. I think people are going to have a normal Thanksgiving. People are going to have a normal Christmas. They're going to have a normal New Year. The politicians have no way of enforcing this. I mean, when they shut the beaches down in California, the sheriff of Los Angeles County, Alex Villanueva, who's a good guy, said, who's going to enforce it? I'm not. You had sheriffs up and down the state just flat out refuse to enforce these edicts. And by the way, it's not even like they went through the proper channels and passed a law. This is just Newsom coming down with some sort of, you know, philosopher king order, and everyone's expected to jump, and no one will.
Is this a guy eyeballing the presidency? I don't know Gavin Newsom. I'm not from California. I mean, everybody knows who Gavin Newsom is, but I don't know this guy's background at all. And you are, quite frankly, an encyclopedia of California politics. What's his deal? Where'd he come from? Where does he want to go?
Well, you know, I'm sure he'd love to be president, but Kamala's now going to be number two. So if there's going to be a politician from California who's going to be in that space, it's going to be her and not him. My guess is what he plans on doing is appointing himself to be U.S. Senator if Dianne Feinstein were to resign or pass away in office. And then he'd show up to the U.S. Senate and try to make his mark there.
Wait, hold on. You actually think, I actually respect this, I would do the same thing, that he would appoint himself to be a United States Senator? Surely that wouldn't go over.
Oh, yeah. No, he would absolutely do that and not think twice about it. You should listen to some of these press conferences that he does after the French Laundry incident. The California press corps, to their credit, was attempting to hold his feet to the fire. And they were asking him about, like, well, why are you just going and doing the opposite of what you're telling the rest of us to do? And he put out a statement the day before where he gave this weak apology for doing it. And he just referred back to the statement. And then because of COVID, they can't actually be in the same room as him. So he just cuts off their telephone line and moves on to the next. suddenly everyone's got T-Mobile and no one can actually, you know, stick to the call.
What? Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. So Now, back to the election. Obviously, California didn't go for Donald Trump. Anybody who thought that beforehand was a nutball. I tried to explain everything like that. But was there any kind of a red surge at all within the state with the individual congressional districts, maybe?
Well, if the numbers hold, Republicans will pick up 3 seats in California, and they'll hold on to their most vulnerable one, which was Mike Garcia, which was the Katie Hill seat out in the Antelope Valley. There were a couple other races where Democrats were the incumbent that were way too close for comfort for the Democrats. And Republicans just dumped all of their resources into a few seats. Had they known that they were going to have a better election in the congressional races and they played in more seats, my guess is they would have won 5 or 6. So next time around in the midterms, I assume they will hold on to the ones they just won, and they're going to pick up a couple more.
Okay, so talking about the midterms, we don't even have this one established yet, but I can't help it. I love this stuff. Doesn't the party in power, the party of the presidency, pretty much always lose some seats at the midterms? It seems to me with the gains we're making here, there's a chance Republicans take back the House. Let's not act like Joe Biden's going to be some banger of a president.
Oh, yeah. Everyone talks about, Kamala Harris is going to be the one in charge in D.C. No way. The most powerful person in Washington, D.C. is going to be Joe Biden's nurse. And you can already see the wheels starting to come off the car with these appointments that he's been making, all these lobbyists, all these people that are going to infuriate the left. So there's going to be some sort of purge that's going to happen. Everything is going to be ruled by committee because he doesn't have the mental faculties to make any decisions himself. And anytime you have an organization, whether it's a company, a country, a athletic team run by committee, it's a complete and total disaster. So that's where we're headed with him. And if the Republicans are smart, they will play in a lot of these seats, a lot of these races that they didn't play in last time. And they're going to pick up some of those congressional seats.
Is anybody genuinely surprised that Joe Biden, a 47-year D.C. swamp rat, is going to surround himself with all these people? One, it's all he's ever known. Two, I think people forget that Joe Biden called in every favor in the history of the world and completely cleared the Democrat field over the course of about a week because all the right phone calls were made. You don't do that without promises. He made some promises.
Oh, yeah. Well, Joe Biden, I know he was painted in the election as being a socialist and all of these things. Joe Biden was the least insane of all of those people up on stage, maybe him and Amy Klobuchar. At his core, Biden is essentially a good old boy. And that's who he's going to appoint. That's who he's going to bring into that administration. But he's a good old boy in a party that's no longer the good old boy party. I mean, they are a socialist hard left party. So he's going to piss off every one of the AOCs and the people in the squad and that part of the party, which is otherwise known as the base. And he's going to have a really tough time keeping that coalition together. You think about this for a second. The margin of a majority that the Democrats have in the United States Congress is so small. If they don't keep every single one of them in line together on every single vote, they won't be able to get anything through. They still have a few blue dogs left, or at least people who claim to be blue dogs, and they have people who are outright socialists. And you're going to need all of those people to vote the same way on every single piece of legislation to get it through. It's a recipe for them to be slitting each other's throats.
Are any of these blue dogs they have, who you never see on TV, by the way, are any of them young? And I ask that because I've been constantly saying the Democrat Party's finished because all their blue dog, more moderate types, they're all 8,000 years old. And all the young ones like AOC, they're going to be there for 20 years. She's never leaving.
Yeah, well, young compared to who? I mean, you got Nancy Pelosi, who's 80 years old. And even the quote young ones, I mean, when you see her and Adam Schiff standing on stage, they look like Waylon and Madam. And then you look just below her, they got Jim Clyburn, who's 912, and Steny Hoyer, who's 913. So, people in their 60s in that caucus and early 70s are the young ones. And the AOCs have literally nothing in common with them, nothing in common, which means that they won't have any problem at all to go out and say nasty things about them in the papers and, do what they have to do to derail their legislation and cause all kinds of problems.
AOC is going to end up being the best friend we ever had. John Phillips at the John Phillips Show. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We got a lot more. Hang on. Joining me now with BearingArms.com, Cam Edwards. Cam, should we trust elections? Let me preface this by saying, I don't know what level of voter fraud we saw. There's voter fraud in every single election. I don't know whether it's as massive as the Trump people are saying or as minuscule as the media is saying. I don't know. You can't sift through all the information out there. But I know it's a dangerous place for the country to be if we don't trust them. Should we trust them, or is this whole new mail-in thing just totally screwed us?
Look, here's the question. Yes, we should trust the elections. Do we trust the elections? I think is the real question, right? And if we don't, and I think pretty clearly, there's a large number of Americans who I think on either side were going to dispute the results of the election because the potential for fraud, as you say, exists, right? And so if Trump had pulled out a victory, you'd be seeing Biden supporters saying the same thing. Trump rigged the election. It was Republicans, states around the country who, stuffed the ballot boxes for Trump. We would be hearing the exact same thing. So I think one of the fundamental things that we need to do as a country is actually figure out a way to make our elections secure, make the results come in as quickly as possible, and actually give Americans a reason to trust the results of an election, even if it doesn't go the way they want it to.
But here's my only issue with that, Cam. It's not that I disagree. But that sounds like a Republican platform and not a Democrat platform, and I mean it by this. Everything in the Democratic Party, everything about it, no ID, everything about them wants more people to be voting. They want as many people as humanly possible to vote with as little accountability as humanly possible. People can make of that what they will, but that's what they're always pushing for. So that party's never going to agree to have a more secure, safe, fast election. They're never going to do that, and everyone knows why.
Well, then they're going to keep losing elections, which is, again, what we saw. Don't know what the top of the ticket's going to look like ultimately, but that's what we saw in Senate races and House races and state legislative races around the country. Democrats did not have a blue wave, and I think in part because of how extreme they've become on issues like election security. I don't think that it's a Republican issue to want to know that your vote counts, right? And, if there are concerns about, let's say, the cost of voter ID, all right, well, let's make it as easy as flipping possible to get an ID so that you can vote. What we need to do is we actually need to figure out a way to try to put, as you say, the partisan politics aside. And the Democrat Party, you're right, they want to expand not only the opportunities to vote, but in doing so, expand the opportunities for fraud. So we need to have a real conversation. Republicans, Democrats, independents, people who haven't voted in the past because they're concerned about this. We need to try to take the politics out of it as much as possible, if that's even feasible, and actually, again, work for real solutions that work for real voters so that we do feel confident when we go to the polls that it's not possible to steal an election one way or the other.
But, well, not to be too dour about it, Cam, but that does make it a Republican issue anymore, that this isn't the Democrat Party of the 60s, 70s, 80s, or even 90s. I remember I had this conversation with somebody one time, some hardcore leftist, about how Americans didn't want the politics of Black Lives Matter at their football games. And the guy came back to me, genuine as can be. It was not a hostile conversation. He said, well, it's okay for right-wing things like the American flag to be there. And I just sat back dumbfounded. There is only one party of patriotism. And you know I'm all about trashing the Republican Party whenever they're weak and spineless. But let's be honest, that's not part of the Democrat platform now.
No, it is not in many ways. But again, I think that's to their detriment. And you saw Republicans make gains in deep blue Democrat-run cities. Now, look, they didn't get anywhere close to a majority, but they made inroads that we haven't seen in a generation or more. So this isn't something where, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to flip a switch and all of a sudden we can all agree to get along when it comes to, really important issues like this. We are still going to be waging that cultural war. You're absolutely right about that. I happen to just think that the vast majority of Americans, including some Democrats, who probably wouldn't admit it unless you put them under like sodium pentothal or something, then maybe they'd say, yeah, you're right, I do want elections to be secure. They will, by and large, go along and conform with the demands of the party. But we need to keep fighting this battle, and we need to keep pushing on this issue, because I do think that we've got a lot of allies, even if they're afraid to speak up at the moment.
Okay, well, that's inspirational. All right, Cam, what is a Joe, if we get a Joe Biden presidency, what does the first 2 years of it look like? Because no one knows what's going to happen in the midterm. I mean, traditionally, they lose some seats. But the first 2 years of it, we know he's going to have a bunch of radical nut jobs in appointed positions. But what can he do? What will he do? What do you think he even wants to do? I still don't know what the guy stands for.
I don't know how much Joe Biden knows what he wants to do other than to, you know, let Democrats have free reign. Honestly, I mean, I think he's going to be, if he's in office, a fairly hands-off president. And as you say, I think there's going to be gridlock in Congress. So I'm really concerned about executive branch abuses. You know, at BearingArms.com, we've been writing a lot about the fact that apparently members of the Biden transition team have already reached out to the ATF. And so they're talking about things like banning the importation of modern sporting rifles, going after 80% receivers and frames. I spoke not long ago, actually, with Mark Oliva from the National Shooting Sports Foundation. And he said that, you know, there's concerns that the Biden administration is looking at ways to do their AR-15 ban, their so-called assault weapons ban, through regulation rather than through legislation. So basically, the ATF would just all of a sudden determine that, you know, 20 million modern sporting rifles are actually like machine guns and need to be registered under the National Firearms Act. I'm concerned about things like that. And, you know, that's one small area of the administration's focus. But imagine that kind of abuse taking place in virtually every cabinet agency in a Biden administration. I think that's what we're looking at.
How can they do that executive order-wise? And I guess probably more importantly, Cam, why would they do that? I mean, they do want to be reelected, and there is no appetite that I can see, unless I'm missing something, for more gun regulation right now. The sales remain through the roof, and it's not just Republicans. It's leftists, too, with these Antifa Black Lives Matter animals in the streets. Who in the world is calling for gun legislation?
Now, the gun control advocates and a billionaire named Mike Bloomberg, who loves to spend money helping Democrats get elected. I mean, I think that's the long and short of it. You're right. Gallup just came out this week, found that support for gun controls at its lowest level since 2016. As you say, record high gun sales, and a lot of them are to people who don't look like me, right? They're not a white guy in his 40s who lives out in the middle of nowhere. These are, you know, Democrat voters. These are women. These are minorities, and they are buying guns and embracing their Second Amendment rights for the very first time in a way that we really haven't seen. So you're right. Look, I think politically, I think that would be a huge mistake. I there would be court challenges left and right, and hopefully with Amy Coney Barrett on the bench, a lot of that would be, you know, struck down as unconstitutional. But there does seem to be an appetite right now within the Biden administration to start going after legal gun owners however they can, and the ATF is going to be a big avenue to do that.
Okay, so Cam, help me understand, how does something like that even get clear to the Supreme Court? Are executive orders, are they subject to Supreme Court review? I'm not a lawyer. I don't want to speak out of turn. I thought that's just something, for the most part, they could just stroke a pen and do.
So the way, let's say Biden tried to do a backdoor gun ban through executive action or through the executive branch. I don't think that he would actually use an executive order. Instead, again, the ATF would probably have some rulemaking period, or they would announce some sort of a change in their interpretation of the definition of a machine gun under the National Firearms Act. It'd be a public comment period that they could then ignore, and then they could, you know, promulgate these new rules, which could then be challenged in court because, you know, there are rulemaking procedures. And I think the legal argument, I'm not an attorney either, but the legal argument would be, look, this is not a reinterpretation of a machine gun. This is, you know, completely making up what a machine gun is. And so if Congress wants to ban so-called assault weapons, then Congress needs to be the body to do that. But you can't declare 20 million legally owned firearms as National Firearms Act items with a stroke of a pen. Again, I'm not an attorney, but that's the thrust of what the legal argument would be. And I would like to think that the Supreme Court would go along with that, that again, there's only so much that you can do through regulation before all of a sudden now you're creating new laws. And agencies don't have the right to create new laws. That's Congress's purview. And if the votes aren't there in Congress to do it, that doesn't give the ATF the excuse or the Biden administration opportunity to go ahead and ban guns via administrative action.
Cam Edwards, BearingArms.com. Thank you, brother.
Always good talking with you, Jesse.
We'll be back. The headlines this morning were wild with accusations that North Korea is training dolphins as part of their Navy. One, I have to see that. Two, I then came across this video, and man, maybe these North Koreans are onto something because this dude gets cleared out. It's not funny. Quit laughing. You're a bad person. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint and your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.